Thank you, Chad, for leading us in our song service. We always appreciate those that lead and serve, and we do not forget for many of you how difficult it is to stand in front of an audience and to speak publicly, and we do appreciate you and your willingness to do that. We appreciate all those that serve. Got a couple of things. When we began to go to the screen for our worship services, the elders asked me to put those things together, I guess, because I can have access to a computer. And I haven't said it in a while. If there's some songs that you would like for us to sing, I know Mother's Day, several folks came up and said, you know, here's one we haven't sung in a while. Just let me know. Email me, text me, call me, and we'll work that into the service. Oftentimes I try and pick a theme, but anyway, just wanted to say that to you. The graduation picnic, we want to emphasize that, June 2nd. It's a big time. We have four that we know of so far who will be graduating, and we want to honor them. So we encourage you to come out that day, and as we have done in the past, Dave will cook hamburgers and hot dogs, and we will supply the rest, the fixins, we call them in the South. So we encourage you to come and do that. And this is a little different. Claudia and Javencio Martinez, they have been worshiping with us for some time, and today is Claudia's birthday. And we would like to just sing happy birthday. Claudia, would you mind standing just for a second? She's just sweet and wonderful, and we just want to sing happy birthday to her, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Claudia. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Now, she has invited the church after services to come out to the parking lot. She's fixed some treats, empanadas, juice, drinks out there, and we'll be serving them from her automobile. So now I got that right, correct? Okay, got it all right. So remember that when we dismiss. Now, I want to tell you this is a difficult lesson. It's I have about six of them in mind, and finally I just decided, well, let's go ahead and do this, and I hope that you receive it in the spirit in which it is offered. Charles Hodge said a long time ago, and our text was Matthew 7, he said that familiar passages should be read more carefully. And I found that to be a very precious truth in my personal study. There's some passages in the scripture where I'm so familiar with them, I've memorized them, that many times when I come to them, I just zip right through them as though I have gleaned everything possible from the passage. And I'm telling you, that's a mistake. We're dealing with God's Word. And the more familiar, I think it probably would be a blessing for us if we would maybe pause and spend a little more time really contemplating that passage. Well, what we're going to study today is taken from the Sermon on the Mount. It is, if you would, in my understanding, the Sermon on the Mount is like the Magna Carta. It's like the Constitution of the United States, except Jesus gave us the sermon so that we would understand what the kingdom of God, the church, is going to be like. He describes us. He describes our attitudes. He talks to us about the way to address and to understand the law and how precious it is, that His Word is so important to us. He deals with so many things in the Sermon on the Mount that are just precious. How to pray, about fasting, how to give, how to deal with one another. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go two. If he smites you on the other cheek, turn the other. Or if he smites you on one cheek, turn to him the other. There's so many teachings in there. And in this chapter 7, The last part is Sean Redd, and thank you, Sean. It's so good to see you. You just get better looking every time, brother. It's good to have you. But as Sean Redd, in this part of the sermon, Jesus is really narrowing the focus for us. He says, here is the basics. Here are the description, what those in the kingdom are, principles. Here it is. And he says, now, don't just hear it, but be sure that you do it. And he makes that statement. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father. And that's not encouraging us to think that we earn or merit salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. But obedience is very important. It's very crucial. If we hear all of the teachings and we don't do anything with them, it's done us no good. And he's trying to focus us or to get us to focus on this concept. Now, I think most of you are familiar with Pavarotti. He's a very famous opera singer, tremendous voice. He shared this. This is from Guidepost Magazine. He said, when I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Medina, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. He says, I chose one. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Well, concerning the kingdom of God, that's what Jesus is teaching us. Familiar passage, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. I believe the attitude of the world is completely opposed to the words of Jesus Christ. In the world, it doesn't matter what you believe. All roads lead to heaven. All religions lead to the same God. Now, I do not believe that is the truth, but that's what the world says to us. It really doesn't matter what you believe, but here comes Jesus Christ and he says, look, you got two chairs. And you've got to make a decision about which one you're going to sit in. And there are only two. And I think that is so frustrating to so many people in the world today. It's a philosophy to them that's just, it's just out of touch with what they believe is reality. I mean, it really, you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can live any way you want to live. The important thing is to accept everyone around you, not to judge them, let each one decide what truth is for them, and so on. And so there's this great diversity about what do we do to serve God, and you don't have to believe in God. I mean, it doesn't matter, we're just all going to be fine. But folks, Jesus Christ, who is God? I mean, I'm here because I believe Jesus is who he said he was. John tells us in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and he says all things came into being through him, and nothing has come into being apart from him that has come into being. That is, Jesus made it all. That's who he is. He is himself God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He died for our sins. He gave himself for us, and he is the only one who was qualified to do that. And because I believe that, then what he says trumps anything out there. What he says is the truth that I will accept and try to live by, and if someone out here is contradicting him, okay, I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to be loving and kind and gentle in dealing with you, but this is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And so we seek to follow him. And he tells us very clearly that there are two gates, there are two ways, there are two destinations, not three, he said two, and there are two groups. And it's very restrictive, it's very limiting, but I think the pictures that he's portraying for us, they're fairly easy to understand. So define the terms. Well, a gate, that's the entrance point up on a way. I mean, every time you get on Interstate 70, you take a gate, basically. You drive, and now you're on I-70, and you're heading west-east. It depends, but that's the access point. There's the gate where we access one of these two ways. The way is the route that we travel, or the route, depending on how you pronounce it, that you go. You can head east or west on I-70, or you can hit I-81 and go north and south, but you understand it's the way, it's the route I'm on. The destination is what awaits us when we finish the journey. And Jesus is saying there are two gates, there are two ways, there are two destinations, and there are two groups. There's the few and there's the many. And that is what I think drives the world to distraction, because Jesus is very narrow in his sense, not to pun anything, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, here's a way that leads to life, here's a way that leads to destruction, and you're either on one or the other. You can't be on both. You've got to make the choice, and it's the most important choice that you and I will make in our life. Which way are you going to go? Which gate are you going to enter? What way are you going to follow? Where is the destination when you finish following? Where are you going to wind up? Are you going to be a part of the few, or are you going to be a part of the many? And I understand that's so objectionable, but again, fairly easy to see. You've got the narrow and the wide gate, and of course that one leads to destruction or hell. And you've got the narrow gate, I like this, that goes through the cross and the death of Jesus Christ to the golden city or to heaven. So which one have you taken? Which one are you following? Because he teaches us there's only two. Boy, that's pretty easy to see, isn't it? You understand that most of the people in the world are going in the wrong direction? Amen? I mean, do you really understand that? Most of the people in the world, as the Lord said, are going to wind up going the pathway that leads to destruction. It's the few that are going to find eternity. And again, how offensive can you be? You're judging. I'm not the one that said this. Jesus Christ said it. The one who died for our sins. The one who came to save us and to redeem us. Narrow is the path to life. Broad is the way to destruction. I think that's a great illustration. I saw that. I've never seen a highway with that many lanes. Wow! And I guess this is the narrow way down here. There's the broad way. And, I mean, bumper to bumper, heading for destruction. By the way, no thank you. You folks that fight this every day of every week, God bless you. I do not know how you do it. Wow. But you get the idea that he tells us, look, there are two gates, speaking metaphorically, but he says there are two, and there's only one that leads to eternal life. Just one. There's no third. There's no 2.A. There's no 1.B. There is one way that goes to destruction, and there's one way that goes to eternal life. And you have made a choice already about which way you're going to follow. I hope you're not comfortable if you're on the broad way. And I hope if you're on the narrow way, you realize it wasn't meant for comfort either. It will challenge us every step of the way. It's going to be rough. It's not easy. Like I said, this lesson isn't easy. One is the path to life. The other is the path to death. And he references the gate. And he says, first, there's just one that leads to life. It's the narrow one, of course. It's the one that most people are going to miss. And I believe that when he mentions this gate, that he's speaking of the entryway to the kingdom of God. I believe he's talking about our conversion or our commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Because that's the theme through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew 5:20, he says, "I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." So we're talking about two gates. One allows entry into the kingdom. The other is leaving the kingdom. It doesn't go into the kingdom. It leads to destruction or to death. Then in Matthew 7:21, I've already referenced it. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,'" which is what the world says. All you have to do is call on his name. We were studying a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. Do you believe Hitler existed? How many of you believe Hitler existed? Boy, I hope there's no one out there that questions that. Does that mean that you're a follower of Hitler? How many of you are Nazis? That is the belief that much of the world says will get you into heaven. Well, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Does it make any difference in the way you live? If it doesn't, you're not a follower of Jesus. But that's, again, the teaching of the world. It's out there. We have to speak up. The narrow gate leads to life. It's the entrance to the kingdom, and we have to make a choice between the two ways that we're going to follow. I thought this child's cartoon, he gets it. One way, eternal life. The other way, eternal destruction. It's not that hard. But Jesus says that's the way it is. There are two ways, only two ways, no third way, and it's the most important thing that we'll choose. And again, the world says, well, look, there are many choices in this world. You know, all roads lead to heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe, you've heard all of those things. And when it's all said and done, we're all going to wind up in heaven in the same place. That's not what Jesus said, is it? He said there's two. One goes to life, the other goes to destruction. There's no other options. But the world insists, don't be so confining. Don't be so limiting. Don't be so pharisaical. Don't be so legalistic. Again, I'm not the one that said this. Jesus Christ is. And is he speaking the truth or not? Well, if he's not, I'm not following him. But folks, I believe he's telling us exactly what we need to hear. You need to decide which way you're going to go. And if you're fooling around and flirting with the other way, I hope that you understand what danger that you're in. Again, the world is so used to making their own choices, following their personal whims and preferences. They love comfort and convenience. Who doesn't? But when Jesus says, following me, that's not the way it goes. Oprah is one of the leading proponents of this view of all over. She said, "I believe there are many paths to God. I certainly don't believe that there's only one way." Well, now, who's right, Oprah or Jesus? Oprah ain't going to save you, folks. She might give you a free car, but she's not going to save your soul. And whatever she says, that's false teaching. That's the one on the broad way. That's the one who says, come on down to destruction. Because any way you want to choose works. It's not what Jesus said. There couldn't possibly be just one way to God. I am a Christian. Obviously, she doesn't understand what that means. Who believes that there are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity. And that's what we're fighting. That is, I would say, the majority view of most of the people in our nation. It just doesn't matter. Don't bind your beliefs on me. Don't bind what you think on me. I'm free to choose. And the Lord says, look, you're free to choose, but you've only got two choices, and you got to be careful. And this is repeated through the Scriptures. Matthew 12:30, he says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Folks, you're either for the Lord or you're not. You can't be in two chairs. I thought what Pavarotti said, what his father said to him, was so good. Which one do you choose? Well, if you choose the narrow way, I guarantee you those on the Broadway are not going to like you very much. They're going to reject you. They're going to reject your faith. They're going to reject your Savior, which is exactly what they're doing. But Jesus says, look, if you believe in me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no third way. He's very clear. And notice the context in which he makes that statement. We quote it all the time at funerals. I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking about us going to heaven. Well, Lord, how do I get there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm it. One road leads to life. The other road leads to destruction. That is what Jesus Christ taught. Whether it offends you, whether you agree with it, whether you've embraced it, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ. I told you it wasn't going to be easy. It's difficult. But I think it's easy to see what he is saying. Why? Why would he say this? Well, 1 Timothy 2:5 through 7, Paul tells us about Jesus. He says, there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he's telling us, I'm the one who, he goes on, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus is the only one who could give his life for us, and his life would make any difference in our eternal destiny, because he's God. He was sinless. He took our sin upon himself, died for it so that we could be saved. He is the only one. Muhammad didn't do that. Buddha, that's not the way. Hinduism. Jesus is saying, I'm the Savior of the world. If you don't go through me, there's no other way. And folks, I know people don't like that, but it's what he said. He tells us in John chapter 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. And who's the door? Jesus. He is the only pathway to God, the only way to salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one through whom we enter. There's a saying that's been around for a long time. The narrow gate leads to life has got to... Whoops, what did I do? I'm sorry, I missed a point. Forgive me. The narrow gate that leads to life has to be entered. Just a quick point here. All right, there are two ways. I'm doing hook 'em horns for you Texas fans. Two ways. Which one do you choose? Well, there's only one way that leads to life. Just one gate. But you've got to go through it. There are a lot of folks that flirt with Christianity. They look on the other side of it, and they like some things, and they don't like some things. And yet they're attracted. They've seen good Christian folks who really are loving and caring and following Jesus and just such good people. And they like that, but they don't commit to that themselves. Well, if that's where you are, you're still on the broad way. You've got to enter one. You've already entered the broad. You've got to make the decision to go through the narrow. It's an intentional decision that we make. It's conversion. Enter by the narrow gate. It's not something that's easy. The verb there is aorist imperative. And I'm saying all that just to tell you it's a point in time action. When I walk through the door, I'm in the building. That's a point in time. When I walk out of the door, like I hope you're going to go and celebrate Claudia's birthday out in the parking lot, I made a decision and I went through that door. I'm now out, in. It's a time, a point in time where we acted to do something. I'm convinced he's speaking of conversion, and that's a biblical term. In Matthew 18:3, he said, truly I say to you, unless you're converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. There's got to be that intention in our heart to follow Jesus and to follow his way. This is the saying I was going to get to. He said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Have you heard that one? Well, what does he mean? Well, I'm going to follow Jesus someday. I'm going to get serious about my faith someday. You're standing outside the gate saying, yeah, I'm going to go in that direction, but you haven't made the commitment. That's not the way. That's not how it works. You make a decision to enter and then to follow. Otherwise, folks, we are in trouble. Now, I know it sounds confining. I know it sounds limiting, but if you're feeling that, then you're getting the picture, because that's what Jesus is saying. The gate that leads to life is very narrow. The King James describes it as a straight. Straight is the gate. It's not easy to get into. It's not easy to follow. As a matter of fact, the idea behind this, I thought that was a good picture. I get amazed. You know, in the South, when we buy a house, we don't have another house this close to us. One of the first things I noticed when I came up here to try out was that so many of the homes up here have about that much, I'm exaggerating, maybe that much space, but they don't have much space. And I'm thinking, great, because there's just a concrete sidewalk, don't have to mow. So there's some advantages to it, but it's different. In the South, you usually buy a home and it's got some acreage with it. You don't have somebody just right up next to you, which I grew up with that. This was a surprise to me. That just looks so confining and so invasive. I wouldn't want the neighbor next door to hear some of the things I've said, or some of the times when Carla loses her temper and gets after me. I didn't say that, by the way. I wouldn't want them to hear those things. But here you go. Well, that's the idea. It's really confining. And I thought that picture maybe gets it. When we go through, we've got to make the decision. But folks, when we go through, we go through without anything else. I can't bring another person with me. This is my decision. Whether you spend eternity in heaven or you spend eternity in hell, you will be the one who makes that decision. I won't. All the hypocrites in church won't. All the things that people say are bad about following Jesus, or it's too narrow-minded or too judgmental. Okay, I hear that. But you'll be the one who made the decision, this is where I'm going to spend eternity. Depending on whether you're listening to the Lord and obeying Him or not. It's a tough way, and what does He say? Few are those who find it. The few, not the many, just the few. Well, we have the two gates. He spoke also of the two ways. That's, I think, pretty easy to understand. The narrow gate leads to a narrow way. The wide gate leads to a broad way. And the word that is used here is the word stenos, from which we get stenography. You know, the one who sits in the courtroom. And well, they know a shorthand where they squeeze things together. That's how they can keep such accurate records of what's going on. Am I close, Andy? Okay, all right. So there you go. It's a different, limited way to think. And that's what he's saying. We have to squeeze through. It's a narrow gate. It's not easy. May not be pleasant. But nonetheless, there's just the two ways it means to hem in. He talks about, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's a description of the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. That's us. And it's not an easy way to follow. Peacemaker? Merciful? Well, that means I've got to have something to be merciful about, so it's a tough way. Two ways, and we follow Jesus down those ways. Now, in our have it your way world today, there just aren't many people who are willing to live like that. And we just have to say, look, these are the teachings of Jesus. There's the narrow way, and he tells us if we follow him, he says in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They bless us. No matter if they're difficult, they bless us, and they wind up keeping us on the way that leads to eternal life. The broad way, it's attractive, it's self-indulgent, it's self-serving, it's permissive, it's accommodating, it's tolerant, it's inclusive, it's non-judgmental, it's non-offensive, unless you disagree with them. Then it's none of those things. The toleration of our society ends if we don't agree with them. We are not to be tolerated if we disagree. How many genders are there? Well, we say two because the Bible says it. But, hey, we're not going to tolerate you because we believe differently. What makes a marriage? Well, God created Adam and Eve and man and wife, and that's the way it works, and that's a marriage. And the world says, well, you intolerant rascals. The wide way, it really stands for everything and really winds up kind of standing for nothing. The broad way leads to destruction. The two destinations, well, they're pretty easy to figure out. One way leads to life, eternal life, and one way leads to destruction. It's not difficult to figure out that he's talking about heaven and hell. Amen? We're going to go to one or the other. Who decides? I'll make the choice. Which way leads to eternal life? The narrow way. The gate that's narrow, the entry and the narrow way. Which one leads to destruction? The broad gate and the broad way. It leads to destruction. And which one will we choose? Well, he's given us the right to do that, but he hasn't left us in the dark about where we're going to wind up. Destruction, let me get this straight. There's apoleia. It means utter ruin. There's a really increasing movement religiously that says, well, when the Lord says this way leads to destruction, what he means is that we're going to stand before God on judgment day, we'll be judged, and then he's just going to throw us into hell and we're just going to go poof, and we're going to disappear. And we'll just not exist anymore. And so that's eternal destruction. I want you to understand the Greek word, it doesn't leave room for that. It means utter ruin. It's used elsewhere in Scripture and translated as wasted. When Jesus is at Simon's house and the woman comes in with a perfume and anoints him, preparing him for his burial, they charge her with having wasted that perfume. Now, the perfume still smelled. The perfume was still valuable. But they were saying, well, we could sell it for money and do something with it. And she's wasted it. That's the idea. It's still there. But the purpose maybe for which it was created has been neglected. The term never is interpreted as annihilation. I just want to throw that in there because you're going to hear this more and more. The Lord says on the day of judgment, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, cursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I suspect that maybe there's not a doctrine that is more despised, may be rejected as much as any teaching in the Scripture, as this idea of a literal hell. Oh, a loving God would never cast anyone to hell. Well, folks, a loving God gave his Son so that none of us would have to go there. But we've got to make a choice about which road to follow. And if we choose the one that is the broad way and it leads to destruction, we're choosing the one that leads to hell. And you can say, I believe it or not, but that's the teaching of Jesus. And may I remind you, there's no one in all of the Bible who talked more or taught more about hell than Jesus Christ. Why would he do that? Because he's the one who came to save us. He knows the destination. And he's begging us to make the right choice. We've just got the two. We've got to decide which one we want to follow. Then there are the two groups. Well, that's pretty easy. He defines those that go on the broad way as the many. And he defines those that go on the narrow way as the few. How few is few? I'm almost done. You've been wonderful. By the way, I didn't get up until 20 after, so give me some leeway. How few is few? Well, there have been billions and billions of people that have lived on this earth. I guess if a million were saved, that would seem like a lot, but I think that's the idea. Compared to those that have the chance who chose the road that leads to destruction, those that chose the narrow way are the few. We're in the minority. Please don't let that surprise you. We are in the minority. We still get to make the choice. I don't know what the number is exactly. I know that when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, that he then ran away and kind of went on a pout pity party. And God came to him and he said, you know, God, I'm the only one that's left. It's just me. And God said, no. He said, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. Well, now 7,000 sounds like a lot, except there are 10 tribes in the northern tribe of Israel. And of all of the people in those 10, there were only 7,000 who were still faithful to God. That's a few. It's a lot, but it's a few, you know. In the days of Noah, when the world was judged, how many survived? Eight souls. Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. That was it. That's a few. And sometimes we get caught up in this idea of the few. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? God said to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, please, please, will the God of all the universe, you know, won't you always do what's right? And he says, if there's 50 righteous souls, would you spare the city? God says, yes. And he says, okay, if there's 45, I'll spare them. If there's 40, I'll spare them. If there's 30, I'll spare them. If there's 20, I'll spare them. And Abraham said, one more time, Lord, if there's just 10. And he says, I'll spare them. To our knowledge, 3 survived. Lot and his 2 daughters. Few. I don't want to be one of the many. How about you? I want to be one of the few. I want to be in this crowd that goes to heaven. It'll be a bunch, but compared to those who had the opportunity, it's a few. I know the world doesn't like hearing this, folks. How many? I don't know, except God says it's just going to be a few. So, let's close it. 1 Peter 3:20 tells us in the flood, 8 persons were brought safely through the water. Which road are you on? I hope you're not one of those that's standing out there looking and saying, yeah, I'm going to get on that road one day. The likelihood is the longer you delay, the less likely it will be that you'll ever get on that road. What if you don't make that choice? I mean, that's what this is all about. We want people to be saved. We want people to go to heaven. We want people to take advantage of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. The fact that he's coming back. He's not coming back to forgive. He's already dealt with that. He's coming back to take us with him to heaven. But folks, it's going to be the few. And I want to encourage you to make the choice to go through that narrow gate, to enter onto that narrow way, to follow it to the end, which is eternal life, and to be one of the few. I guess I'm talking to the Marines. I keep thinking of that, the few, you know, okay. Well, I guess that's what I'd like for us all to be. Let's be Marines, okay? Mac, I'm sorry, Army. Army's good too, but you understand what I'm saying. Be one of the few. But if you understand this, it's going to put you into some hard places. Because this is not a popular message. But if I understand God's word, folks, this is the one that came from the Lord. And then he tells us, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. We've got to continue to follow him. And we've got to be willing to do so no matter what the cost. In Hebrews, he says, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And that's the challenge. If you're one of the few, there are going to be some opportunities where you're going to want to shrink back. And the Lord is saying, don't do it. folks need to know about this. If you're on the broad way, do you understand that Jesus Christ died so that you wouldn't have to follow that road to destruction? He's done everything possible, and now he said to you and to me, choose. Choose. Which way are you going, and will you go the right way that leads to eternal life? God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he will not take from us our right to make the choice. He won't force us. He showed us his love. He showed us his compassion. He's done everything to save us. Now he calls us and he says, make the choice. I pray to the Lord that you'll make the right choice. I hope when this ends and we get however many are there that we'll look around and everyone here will be among the few, every single one. And I hope that it helps us to realize that those who aren't on that way, the danger that they're living in right now, and we need to tell them it's not going to be pleasant. Many of them don't want to hear it. Many have already rejected the very idea. But folks, we've still got to tell them because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to come to God. So we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If we can help you, if we can pray for you, if you're ready to step out and go on that way by obeying the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, making a confession of that faith and being baptized into him, we're ready to help you in every way that we can while we stand and while we sing.